this coach, and he's also, some of you may know him from doing a couple of the men's retreats, and it's just an honor and a privilege to be able to introduce him this morning, because God really used him in my life over the first men's conference and even over the second one to really speak life and to allow the Holy Spirit just to direct him and to guide him. And I'm just privileged to be able to hear what he has to say this morning. I just want to pray for him before he starts. Father, I just thank you so much for my brother. I lift him up to you, Father. I thank you that he hears your voice, Father, and that he's faithful and obedient, Father, in that place. I pray that you would bless him this morning, that you would anoint him this morning, and that you would keep him this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, I've got to know some of the men in this congregation over the last couple of years, but I'd like to get to know the rest of you as well. Because, you know, we are the body of Christ. And, you know, people often ask, where am I from? Where, my wife Ann and I, who's up here, wave to everyone, please. Well, we're from heaven, and we currently reside in Mannheim, Pennsylvania. Oh, did you hear what I said? You know, when you're a citizen of heaven, your home is not here. You are on a journey with God. You're not on a journey to find him. You're on a journey to release what he's given to you. And I'm looking forward to today to introduce to you the personal nature of the Holy Spirit. Do you know he's involved right now? But I remember something your pastor said last week. He said, you know, he will not make you do something. He gives you opportunity to make a choice. And today I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a choice to honor his presence. And whenever I go out to speak, I'm never sure what's going to happen. So I'm not responsible for what he does. I'm only responsible to introduce you to him. So during our time today, if you start to feel warmth in your body, you may be getting hot, or you just may be experiencing the Holy Spirit. If you feel tingling in your hands, it's a sign that the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you. If you start to shake and fall off the chair, that's pretty weird, but I've seen it happen before. I mean, I've been sitting in meetings, and I had to stop because I was just being entertained. You know, watching people just slide off their chairs. Now, again, if you don't like those kind of things, he won't bother you. Maybe. But if you've invited him and you've said yes to him, then why not let him come in power? Why not let him come in the great joy of the Lord, who's your strength? Why not let him come and answer that question you've been asking for 6 years? Did you know he already answered that question? Sadly, we tune him out and we keep listening to the familiar. But you know what? I'm done with the familiar. I just want the fullness of the kingdom to manifest in our lives. So with that said, let me pray. Father God, we are so excited to be able to be your representation of heaven on earth. And may we be the son and the daughter that you designed us to be today. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to be our guide, to be our counselor, to be our friend, to be the one that will lead us into truth. And if there's any way that we've quenched you or grieved you, please forgive us. It's not our desire. It's just we haven't known how to recognize your presence in so many areas of our lives. So I bless this congregation of people. I bless my brothers and sisters. I bless Pastor Ron and his wife as they're out doing what they're doing. And we look forward to walking out of here with a testimony today that we've met with you, the living God, the creator of heavens and earth, where nothing is too hard for you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, be of good cheer, for the Lord is here. Be of good cheer, because your salvation is something that's happening right now. You know, it didn't happen on July 4th of 1904. It's a daily, ongoing expression of heaven that's meant to be released from you and from me. And you know how that happens? Through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16, I'm going to send you what? You tell me. A helper, the Holy Spirit, a comforter. And by the way, just so you know, I'm an interactive speaker. I don't like an audience that just sits and looks at me. So from time to time, I'm going to say, what do you think? What do you see? What do you sense? What do you hear? Sound like fun? Okay, well then you're in the right place. Now, my challenge for you is this. Many people have head knowledge about the Holy Spirit, but not experience. That sets us up for self-effort and striving. You know, when you try to produce salvation, you generally produce religion. And religion turns into a form of godliness without power. And when you don't have power, you get frustrated because you serve an all-powerful and all-knowing God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than what you could ask or think. So we don't have needs. We have issues with our relationship with God because God said, I'll meet all of your what? Needs according to his riches. Now, Ann and I have been going through 18 years of learning this faith life. And, you know, we've had some great successes and we've had some setbacks because we didn't understand and we're still learning. But I want to encourage you today, whatever your question is for God that you think you have not heard the answer for, today is your day. Because Holy Spirit's going to come to you and minister to you exactly where you are. And the self-striving and the efforts at trying to be Christian, you can resign from that. Wouldn't that be good? You know, you can't make yourself Christian. Well, I'll get into that later. My desire for you today is to introduce to you to my friend, my helper, my comforter, the one who leads me into truth, the Holy Spirit. And in so doing, we'll have to interrupt every thought about him that is contrary to his nature and the fruit that he produces. Now, let me give you some food for thought questions. How would you describe somebody that you really know? And I mean this sincerely now. This could be your husband, your wife, your daughter, your friend. How would you describe them? What's their personality like? What are their likes? What are their interests? What are their dislikes? What are their pet peeves? Where do they like to travel to? What do they like to do? What do they like to eat? Now, I've never asked the Holy Spirit what he likes to eat, but I know Jesus liked fish. That was obvious a few times. Oh, wait, Holy Spirit eating? Well, he's a person, right? Isn't the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the third person is the Holy Spirit? Uh-oh. I think I just lost you. No, but I don't know how it works. Don't ask me to explain something that is beyond my IQ, but I can tell you this. He's very personal in nature. Now, do you have the picture in your mind of this person that you've been thinking about? I want you to do the same thing for the Holy Spirit. How would you describe him? Now, I don't mind if you shout out some descriptions. I really appreciate that. But what kind of adjectives would you use to describe the Holy Spirit? Or maybe you don't know him yet. Powerful? Okay. Okay, great enabler. What else? Peace giver? Peacemaker? Pardon? Instructive, sure. Insightful. What about he likes to have fun? I didn't hear that one come up, but why would joy be one of his fruits? Right? So sometimes we make God into this image of someone that we can't approach, somebody that doesn't understand. We've done that with Jesus, too, of course. You know, we make Jesus this somber man with this somber look on his face. But you know what? He was a guy that hung out with other guys, and I can only imagine the times that he pushed Peter into the water. You know what I mean? They're just walking along the beach, and boom, there he goes. What about one of those guys pushing him into the water? Or when they get the water out of the well and boom, there it goes over their head. Now I'm just using, I want you to use your imagination, because Jesus is a representation of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is able to represent Jesus and the Father to us. He's pretty amazing. Let's move on. We already did that. See, I have a hard time following my notes, so bear with me. I might even forget to use the notes eventually. Now, I want you to think about the tree and the fruit, because this is really important when it comes to relating to Holy Spirit. Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20 from the New Living Translation reads like this: "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. But a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire." So, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. So how would you identify the Holy Spirit? I think you know where I'm headed here, don't you? Because he has amazing fruit. Now, what fruit is he producing in your life right now? I mean, right in this moment, what is he producing? Maybe he's giving you patience to deal with me because you don't know where I'm going with all of this. Maybe he's showing you that you can have a great joy to be your strength. Maybe he's showing you that you can love that neighbor that's not so friendly. We'll get into more of that in a little while. In Galatians 5, we read that the Holy Spirit has love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and that he's able to produce other things like wisdom and counsel and revelation. Do you know him? If not, today's your day. Today is the day to see the manifestation of his fruit come forth in ways that you might have missed. You know, there's times that I'm driving down the road and I get annoyed by some people. Well, that doesn't happen to you, right? This is over on Columbia Avenue. That's right. You're a little bit closer to heaven than me. But what do I do? If I don't allow the fruit of the Spirit to manifest in me, what am I going to do? I'll probably use my flesh. Well, don't talk to my wife about this, but because I've let my flesh out a couple of times. But when I have the fruit of the Spirit, what am I able to do? I'm able to bless the one who spitefully uses me on the highway. Now, they may not have tried to cut me off, but if they did, why should my response be against them when my response can be for them? You understand? Now, his fruit, I want to define this fruit for you, because this isn't some lame fruit. This isn't just a scripture that you're to memorize and hope for the best. It's fruit that manifests in you and through you by relationship with him. If you try to produce it, then you're producing fruit of the flesh. So if you've been taught to do that, maybe you ought to resign from that and become familiar with his involvement in your everyday life. So, his fruit loves people in all situations, even your enemies. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time loving, expressing love, experiencing love for people that hurt people. You know, terrorists and rapists and things like that. How do you do that in your own flesh? I don't know how to do it. So, Holy Spirit, will you reveal your love in me so that I'm able to express love for that individual that I don't like? That individual that I would like to take down. You know, sometimes it's so hard because we're so used to our flesh. So I want you to think now for somebody in your life. It could be a family member, a neighbor, a coworker, a boss, but somebody you're really having a hard time loving. And I want you to see, what does that feel like? What's going on inside as you think about that individual? What kind of adjectives come to mind? What kind of emotion comes to mind? Now, I want you to release that care right now. Just release those frustrations, annoyances, and all that aggravation. Just release it. And say, Holy Spirit, will you reveal your love in me for that individual? Now, I want to take a litmus test. If you've done this, are you noticing a difference? If you're noticing a difference, would you be so brave to tell me? You know, I went from feeling like this, disdain, to feeling, oh, that person has some pretty good qualities about them. You see, when love is at work, you start to see different qualities. I know it's hard to do in the spontaneous, but what I'm giving you today, you can practice tomorrow and the next day and the next and the next. Does anybody have an example from shifting from the disdain or frustration over to love right now? Okay. His fruit demonstrates an exuberance about life through his exhilarating joy. Now, this is one that I'm blocking. I don't know why I'm blocking it, but Ann says to me, you know what? Why are you so grumpy? Well, in the moment, I don't know where the Holy Spirit is. I don't know what he's doing. I can't experience his joy. And I'm saying, God, I don't understand. So I'm hoping for a personal revelation about this fruit today. You know, anybody can pretend to be joyful for a few minutes, right? But what about this afternoon or this evening or when the baby wakes you up in the middle of the night or the boss told you you're not doing a good job tomorrow afternoon? Where's the joy of the Lord then? Where's the love of the Lord that comes through the Holy Spirit? His fruit exudes peace that your willpower is limited to produce, especially during the difficult challenges of life. You know, we like peace in this definition, the absence of trouble. Isn't that the way we like peace? But the kind of peace he produces gives you a stability in the midst of trouble, so you're not frustrated with yourself and you're not frustrated with God and you're not frustrated with other people. You feel calm and you wonder, why am I feeling this way? And I'm sure you felt this, but you didn't recognize it was the Holy Spirit. Remember, peace that passes what? All understanding. So we're not looking for peace being the absence of the storm. We're looking for peace being in the midst of the storm. I will not be shaken. It doesn't matter how bad the house is shaking. I will not be shaken. It doesn't matter how bad the economy is. I won't be shaken. It doesn't matter what the president does or doesn't do. I won't be shaken. What matters is my response. What matters is what's the source of my response, what's the fruit of my response. Where's it coming from? Again, from my willpower or this interactive nature of the Holy Spirit manifesting himself through me. His fruit models patience. Oh, don't we need that? So many times there's things that interrupt our lives. This patience is even tempered, even when anger wants to turn unrighteous. How many of you have learned to be angry and not sin 24 hours a day? I haven't mastered it yet, but I know this. There's so many times that I'm able to notice that anger come up, and I'm able to say, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to be angry and not sin. I need your patience. I don't want to produce patience, because if I produce it, uh-oh, I turned the laser on. How do I turn that off? Huh? Jay? I don't know. Really? All right. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit. He just manifests, just like that. Okay. Now back to this anger thing. I know you don't want to talk about that one. But how many of us get angry? All of us. How many of us know how to get angry and not sin? I don't want to have a raise of hands right now. But perhaps if you ask the Holy Spirit to show you how to be angry, He'll give you His patience. And then He'll reveal His love or whatever you need. I don't know what you need. I rarely even ask for the fruit to manifest because I'm not even sure which one I need. Maybe it's kindness. His fruit shows kindness, a compassion of the heart for people in diverse and troubling situations. Again, what is it to love somebody that's lovely? There's no big deal. Anybody can do that. But the one that's annoying you, the one that's irritating you, the one that's getting under your skin, the one that didn't return your phone call, and you have an important and business decision to make, the check that didn't come in the mail that somebody told you was going to come, and whatever it might be, your tire just went flat. Oh, where's kindness then? And let me ask you another question. How kind are you to you? I have to tell people all the time that I minister to that, you know, be kind to yourself. You're on a learning journey with God. Don't beat yourself up and put yourself down, because that's not what the Holy Spirit's doing. He doesn't have any condemnation, right? So if He doesn't have condemnation, why should you have it? Let me look at this fruit again. Let's see. Love, joy, peace, condemnation. It's a real easy test. The list is pretty small. His fruit causes you to experience His core value of goodness, which results in these three amazing things. Look at this. You get a clear sense of right over wrong. You're not wishy-washy. It is either right or it's wrong, it's black or it's white. You get a firm and persistent resistance to moral evil. In other words, you don't have to struggle with it. You just have that innate ability to say no. And you have the ability to choose and follow moral good, because it's coming from His fruit, not your self-effort. Are you starting to notice what I'm trying to explain here? What you put into motion, you have to maintain. So if you're going to, I'm just going to grit my teeth and I'm going to love, well then, good luck with that. But Holy Spirit, will you do this in me? His fruit enables you to be faithful, which means being loyally committed to God and with people with whom you make an agreement. Don't you want to be loyally committed? I mean, you're just like steadfast. You're rock solid in commitment. Your willpower, it'll fail you. But in loyal commitment, you have the empowerment, the sense of not being alone. You see, when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, He did it for the purpose so you would not be alone. Now, I want to give you an illustration. When Jesus completed His work and He came back to earth to let the guys know everything was okay, He wanted them to be assured that He would never leave them. He would never forsake them. But how many times do you feel alone or forsaken? I mean, there's situations that come up out of nowhere and you wonder, oh God, where are you? God, do you even care? You see, if you had the revelation of the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't even ask those questions. You'd be looking around to see, where are you? I'm not seeing your love. I'm not seeing your peace. I'm not seeing your kindness, your goodness. I'm not seeing anything right now. Surely you have to be here somewhere. But because we're trying to see, and because we're trying to hear, instead of entertain relationship with Him through your heart, the circumstance has a voice that's louder than His. And circumstances always have a voice for the good or the bad. Now let's look at this fruit. His fruit shows people that you do not need to force your way in life because you are sensing His gentleness. Now there is some pretty strong-willed people that are type A personality, some with the motivational gift of prophet perceiver. They can be tough. So they need this fruit more than the rest of us. Now, I'm just If you don't understand motivational gifts, you wouldn't have understood what I just said. But some people are just very driven, type A, black and white. They seem like they don't have an ounce of love in them. They just want to get her done. Nothing wrong with that unless it's hurting people. Nothing wrong with that unless it's dishonoring God. Nothing wrong with that unless it's controlling or manipulative. We need people to be movers and shakers, but they need to be filled with the Holy Ghost so they don't misrepresent heaven to the people they're leading. And his fruit demonstrates self-control, which is an uncanny ability to direct your energies wisely. Now, I have a lot of clients around the nation that they don't know how to invest their time. They spend their time. They just waste time away doing busy work. And that's not good stewardship. And so I often have to help people to take a look at their 24 hours and decide how are they investing it or how are they spending it. If you're spending it, it's gone. You know, it's kind of like a dollar. Once you spend it, you don't have it. So when you have self-control, you're able to look at the day's work. You're able to decide what is right for now and what's good for tomorrow. You're able to know when to make that phone call or when to delay that phone call. You know, I'm like, likely like you, I'm busy. I have so much stuff going on and so many responsibilities in my life at this point. And I need the Holy Spirit every day to help me order my day so I'm not wasting my time. Because I'll never reach the goals or the deadlines that I have. There's so many things that go with preparing a sermon. I don't know if you've ever prepared one, but it takes time. Unless you're going to print one off the internet and hope for the best. You know what I mean? But it takes time to study and look at the Word and make sure you're praying through the information. You know, I just was up in Hastings, Pennsylvania, up in above Johnstown, out in 3 hours away, meeting with a new leadership team of a church called Crosscut Church. And I was really excited for them because they are in a very rural area. And they bought this old warehouse. And God's given them the ability to transform it. It's really nice inside, a very nice facility. But they took a step of faith. They stepped beyond the normal of that community and just have a little church that they hope people show up. They built big for people to show up in. And so, but it took a lot of time, a lot of planning and meetings and so forth and requirements of the township. When they engaged in that, they needed to have self-control so they were focused on what they were doing to reach the end game that they needed to reach. And not only that, I had to prepare for this leaders meeting. Now, I've done hundreds of leaders meetings. But you know, I don't go into my meetings like I've done this before. I want to go in prepared. I want to go in prayed up. So I want to invest my time in preparation for that meeting. And I would hope you would do the same thing. Now, you know, that you don't just show up at a church service. You start to prepare your heart for the church service. So you're ready to receive. And then what do you do with it after it's done? Well, that's over with. I went to church. Isn't that the way we treat Sunday morning a lot of the time? You know, we have an identity crisis in our nation. And the identity crisis is not our nation, it's the church. You know, we don't know who we are. And without the Holy Spirit, we can't prove who we are. And so I'm convinced that once every one of us comes into the core of our unique design, the identity crisis will go away. Because we'll no longer be arguing about who we are, naturally or spiritually. Now, I have a lot to say on that, but that's for another time. So remember, the fruit of the Spirit does not come into reality through your effort, but rather by your yielding. And the best place to learn to know Him is in the times that are difficult, the times that are frustrating. Because when you feel good, you're not going to pursue Him as much. You understand what I'm saying? It like when life's going okay, we don't need God. At least that's the way I've treated Him. But when life's going starts to go crooked, then we start, oh God, will you help me? And He'll say, I'll be glad to. But you got to get to know The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does amazing things, and I don't have time to get into this today, but there, I found, I think, at least 9 or 10 different things the Holy Spirit will do for you. But one of them he does that I will mention. He will pray for you when you don't know how to pray. He'll intercede for you. Sometimes you say, I just don't even know what to say, God. You know what? That's a good time to keep your mouth shut. And I don't mean that in a sarcastic way. I mean that in a very real way. I don't know what to say. But then you say, Holy Spirit, you do. Holy Spirit, you know how to pray. You know how to talk to the Father about this. You know the needs far better than I know my needs. Now, I need to stop for a moment. What's going on inside? What are you feeling? What are you sensing? What are you discerning? Or is your mind drifting out to what you're going to have for lunch or what you're going to do later today? Again, no condemnation, but I'm just curious. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal himself to you personally right now. And maybe he already has. Does anybody have an example of how you're sensing the Holy Spirit even in this moment? Maybe you're feeling a greater sense of joy that you didn't have before. Or maybe you're feeling a sense of, wow, I don't even know the Holy Spirit. But he wants to reveal something to you in that particular place. I know you're not used to responding, but I don't want to walk out of here without you having this sense of presence that you take with you when you go. Yes? Okay, comfort, reassurance, and she's loved no matter what. You can't make that up, especially if you have some trouble in your life. You have an unresolved issue in your life. You see, if you don't feel comfort, it's a lack of relationship. It's one of the things he does. Is there anybody else? You're sensing one of the fruits of the Spirit, or you're getting some personal revelation, or you're just downright frustrated. And that's okay. If you're bold enough to tell me you're downright frustrated, we'll have a mini ministry session right now. No takers on that one, Wes. Oh, it's you. Okay. Anybody else? Yes? I'm sorry? Okay. You're striving. You're working too hard. You're trying to be Christian. I want to tell you, I'm going to give all of you opportunity today to resign from trying to be Christian. The only thing that makes you Christian is Christ. As a matter of fact, we're not even sure. But the word Christian, we believe, was a derogatory term that came from the Romans. Because they didn't know what to call these followers of Jesus, so somebody labeled them Christians. Now, I want to challenge you a little bit on this, because I've had to be challenged by it. If I'm born in a Christian home, or I'm born in a Christian nation, does that automatically make me a Christian? Then why do we say that we're Christian when we should be saying, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm an ambassador on special assignment. I have a helper named the Holy Spirit. But we identify by name only. Think about it. Christian by name only is a powerless person. We have this identity thing going on. I'm identifying like this, I'm identifying like that. Well, many Christians are by Christian by name only. And how do I know this? By the fruit. And I lived that way most of my life, so I'm very familiar. You know, I took my wife and sons to church, but I was not, I don't know what I was. But I had a form of godliness without power. And again, no condemnation, it's just a reality check. If you're not identifying as Christian, maybe you'd want to identify as a Muslim or a Hindu or some other religion. Jesus said, and you'll be known by what? Fruit. Fruit of self-effort? Trick question. No, not the fruit of self-effort, the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit that's able to show the world a different response than the rest of the world. Anybody else experiencing any revelation, fruit of the Spirit, or there's just a frustrating message? Come on, Rob, get this over with. I need to get out of here. Yes, sir. Michael. Okay, and we're going to go even further with that before we're done. So that's good. Now, let's talk about the source that feeds, that produces a fruit. Again, very familiar language here, but it's important to get the analogy in your head so that you're able to see how the Holy Spirit can work. So a healthy tree or vine has an extensive root system that brings nourishment into the limbs and leaves, and ultimately the blossom to bring about a fruit. I'm no botanist or scientist, but I watch it happen. Now, if the source, the soil of that tree becomes contaminated, what are the roots going to drink in? Contamination, right? They're going to drink from the source. So, what is your root system, your, in quotes, Christian life, what is it tapping into? Self-effort? Self-reliance? Your own understanding? This is so important. I'm telling you, if you don't identify what your roots are tapping into, you won't be able to change according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because it's familiar. So if you're tapping into form of godliness religion without power, do you wonder why you're powerless? If you're tapping into self-effort, do you wonder why you're exhausted? If you're tapping into your limited, unrenewed mind for your source of the Holy Spirit, you're tapping into a bad place. Because He don't live in your brain. The Holy Spirit is one who comes and ministers to your spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Jesus said, He's the vine and we're the branches. Jesus is connected with the Father, and because He's connected to the Father, we're connected to the Father as well. That's a great deal. It's by virtue of the fact that you received Him in your heart and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you're connected. But from that point on, your relationship is with Holy Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong, you can talk to Jesus, you can talk to Father God, but without Holy Spirit, you're going to have a limited Christian experience. There, I said the word, and I hate that. You're going to have a limited born anew experience. You're going to have a limited citizen of heaven experience. You're going to have a limited son or daughter experience. So the Holy Spirit helps us to stay connected into the place of nourishment that causes us to reflect heaven. Is this making any sense? I'm not sure if you're just in a deep state of processing or something else. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into these areas of our heart right now where we're wrestling with things. And if we're trying to figure it out, help us just to relax so we don't have to figure it out. Help us to truly and honestly just reflect on your nature, on your character, and your ability. Thank you for your help. Fruit that you produce by your willpower, you need to maintain by your willpower. And God will not interfere with that. Free will is free will. So I'm going to be kind. How long does that last you? I'm going to be patient. I'm going to love my neighbor that keeps blowing, their trash keeps blowing in my yard. Your new life in Christ is life in the Spirit. What does that phrase mean to you? Life in the Spirit. It means a lot to me because it's an internal sense of life that gives my body life. I don't know how else to explain it. It's an internal sense of being and knowing. You all get gut feelings from time to time, right? That sense of internal sense of knowing, guess where that is? That's your spirit being. That's a connection with the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to tell the story, but I have one major sense of knowing and a lot of littler senses of knowing. But in 1996, when I was healed from cancer, I knew I was healed. I just knew. I knew that I knew that I knew. I couldn't be shaken from it. And my doctor wouldn't believe me. But that's all right. He took him 2 years, but he caught up with me. But when you know something, you're unshakable. It's not hoping. Hoping is not knowing. When you live in a Christian mindset, you're generally hoping. But when you live in an identity perspective, you know things. My God will never leave me nor forsake me. I know. I don't always exhibit it, but I know. You understand? I've talked about this off and on throughout our time together, but this is so important. How were you saved in the beginning? Wasn't it by grace through faith that you're saved and not of your works? Well, then why would we switch things up and put works first? But that's what we do in a lot of our Christian life, the church life, is we do things and hope God blesses it instead of, wait a minute, let's get positioned in grace so that when we move by faith into action, we don't need it to be blessed. It's already blessed because it started in grace. And I want you to think about something you started in your life, but it's not going well. You keep hitting bumps and bruises and turns and twists, and you say, God, what's going on here? Maybe you just have to come back and start over, in a sense, position yourself in grace so that when you move into faith, your relationship with God actually has substance to it. I wish you could all just share one hard thing you're going through, and then let's reposition yourself and see how it shifts. So God, if I started this by self-effort, I want to resign today. And we're going to have a chance for that in a little bit when I call you to the altar. I want you to come and say, God, you know, anywhere I'm using self-effort without the Holy Spirit, I want to resign from that. In any way that I've quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit, I want to ask forgiveness because I want to be in grace where I'm able to do things through faith. And then some of us, we may need to resign from these forms of godliness without power that came through our own way of discerning what it means to be Christian. Once you determine something, it becomes your truth, whether it's truth or not. So once you decide how to be Christian, you have to maintain that particular lifestyle. But when you're free, you don't have rules. You don't have shoulds and have to's. You have, I get to. I'm invited to. I'm free to. So I'm curious today, perhaps you've created your own list. And that list is not serving you well. Maybe when you come to the altar, you'll say, no, you know, God, I need to renounce this. I need to break agreement with this. I just need to resign completely from trying to be Christian and let you be Christ in me, my hope of glory. Now, don't get me wrong. You will end up doing things, but you do it from the perspective of invitation, the perspective of leading. So when you come to a church meeting, you don't have to come. You know you're invited to be here, not just by the pastor, but by the Holy Spirit. So then you might find yourself giving more. Say, wow, I didn't know I could give that much. Well, maybe it's because you didn't know the Holy Spirit was enabling you to do so. Maybe you'll find wisdom and revelation and counsel for your big decisions you have to make, because you're not leaning on your own understanding, which is getting it right and trying harder demands that you do. Spiritual growth is first spiritual. Let's not forget, you know, we're naturally and spiritual simultaneously. Anytime you're going to use your willpower to be spiritual, you're likely going to get in trouble. The best use of your willpower after salvation is to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Please make note of that. This is so important. Willpower in the Bible will create religion. Willpower submitted to the Holy Spirit and the Bible will create life. Did you hear what I just said? I've never said it that way before. I like it. You know, willpower plus the Bible can create religion. But willpower submitted to the Holy Spirit and the Bible will produce life. It'll produce something spiritual. It won't necessarily produce something you can understand right away, but it will produce life in you. And as a result, you're going to experience comfort. You're going to experience His help. You're going to experience His guiding. You're going to come into a place of truth. Truth that does what? Sets you free. I always tell people, look, if your understanding of the Word of God is not setting you free from something and setting you free to something, you probably have a wrong understanding. You understand? Salvation was not just an escape from hell, but an invitation into heaven. Many of us stand on the edge of hell holding our ticket for heaven and saying, I can't wait to get to heaven. And God says, what are you doing? Come on over here. And this is where the Holy Spirit gets involved in this place of your life. Because no longer you're not just standing here thankful you're saved from hell, but you're over here exploring what's heaven like. And then you go out and do crazy things, like start a ministry or start a business or believe God for healing or whatever it is that you're believing for. Today, I want to see the manifest power of the Holy Spirit at work in each of your lives. So, if you have a form of godliness, today's your day. You can stop it right now. If you have a form of striving, today's your day. You can end the striving. If you're carrying unbelief about a relationship, about a provision, about a job opportunity, whatever it is, today's your day. And I want to invite you away from this edge right here. This invisible place of standing on the edge of hell, I want to invite you into this place of reality in Christ. What do you think? Will you join me? Perhaps you believe the Holy Spirit was only personally involved in the early church. How sad that is, and we've been taught that. I don't know if you all have been, but I was taught that God changed. No, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't let your circumstance tell you God changed. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask or think. Now it's 11:35. What does that mean to you? It's a kind of a trick question. But what does it mean to you on a Sunday morning? It's 11:35. Does it mean it's soon time, you should get done, you should wrap this up? Or does it mean, no, okay, we're still good? What are you thinking? What are you seeing? What are you sensing? What are you hearing? By the way, Wes, when do we wrap up? 2 o'clock? Okay, we're good. You're a man after my heart. But that's why I asked the question, you know, what are you, like, I need to get up, I need to get out of here. Or is it just irrelevant? It's okay if we hang out a little bit longer. What do you think, Kevin? Time for change. Not the clock. Maybe we'll set the clock back. It's only 10:35. We're just beginning. See, we don't usually run our lives by facts. We run our lives by meaning. The fact that it's 11:37 or 38 right now means something to you. It means something to me when I'm sitting in the audience. Oh, isn't he soon done yet? I mean, I'm getting hungry. Don't you know I have to be somewhere? I know, I'm messing with your head, but for good purpose, because Holy Spirit, what are you doing right now? Holy Spirit, how do you want to end our time together? Holy Spirit, where do you want to go from here? And I think we're going to try to wrap up. Maybe could the worship team come up, and I think we're going to try, but at least come up, okay? I still have a bunch more PowerPoints, but I just want the Holy Spirit to move and be Him, be who He is. Perhaps you unknowingly have been quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. I didn't bring the documents along. I have studied this stuff out extensively, and I have documents in all these different areas. Maybe I'll get to share them with you sometime. But you know, when you quench or grieve the Holy Spirit, you can't hear Him. And when you determine to lead on your own understanding, that's the time that you quench Him. Now, if you're going to deliberately move into sin, that's a time that you grieve Him. But maybe He wants to speak to you so personally right now that you say, but this here is more important, Holy Spirit, don't you know? I've done it plenty of times. So maybe let's stand to your feet. Holy Spirit, we're doing our best to get through this. We're doing our best to grasp what it means to live in the freedom of Christ. And Holy Spirit, in any way that we've quenched you even this morning, we didn't want to do that. It wasn't the intent of our hearts necessarily. We just didn't know that you were trying to help us. Holy Spirit, if we've grieved you in any way through sinful actions today, will you forgive us and cleanse us of that unrighteousness? As we're here together as the body of Christ, the church, as sons and daughters, I want you to think about what your Christian life looks like and what you would like it to look like. I want you to think about your imagery of God as Father, Jesus as Savior, and the Holy Spirit your helper. And maybe, just maybe, you need to reorder some things, and today's your day, and you want to act upon that. You want to step beyond your comfort zone and come up here to this place. And you don't need to be shy about it. Just come. I'm not going to do anything, but I will pray for you if you want prayer. So maybe you want to break a religious habit. Maybe you want to see the healing presence of Jesus manifest in life. Maybe you have a form of godliness. You're saying, you know what, I've had enough of that. I don't know how to change it, but Holy Spirit, with your help, we can change it. So, as the worship team sings the song, you can either sing along with them or come up here. Thank you. Spirit for what you're doing right now. You're an amazing helper. You're an amazing comforter. You're an amazing friend. You reveal truth. You reveal the healing presence of Jesus. You reveal the love of the Father. And of your fruit, there'll never be an end. And I'm thankful for that. And may we be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Just keep going with the music here just a little bit. Is anybody here just feeling really stuck? I mean, like, you just cannot believe that it's even true to be free. Can you, if you do, I want to pray for you later. Just, you don't have to embarrass yourself, but I just want you to be honest with yourself and say, I don't get what you're talking about, Rob, and today I'm going to confess it so we can move on with life. Okay. Thank you, God. So you can hang out as long as you want. Feel like you need to leave, that's fine. If the Holy Spirit moves on me to come back up here and say something else, I will. But right now, if you guys could just hang out and maybe sing a little bit, that'd be great.
There's no darkness in your eyes. There's no question in your
Spirit wants to do here this morning, and I can't possibly get to every one of you, but I'm going to do my best I can. I'm not in a hurry. So you just hang out however long you want to hang out, and if you're still back here hesitant to come front, just come front. Don't worry. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. We confess our sins one to another so that we get what? We get healed. You know what I mean? So we become vulnerable with each other because we're allowed to, because we're brothers and sisters, and we have the greatest helper that ever was or ever will be. So release your cares. Release your cares to God, and He will care for you. If you need financial need, He knows how to do it. If you have physical need, He knows how to do it. If you have relational need, He knows how to do it. If you have religion standing in your way, He knows how to overcome it. He did it once. He'll do it again. So thank Him. Just thank Him. So you pray however long you feel like you want to.